or we did. Katia, and then Benito, and then I'll come to Teresa.
At the cost of sounding redundant, I do agree with both Janice and Manijay and Serene, I guess. But is this the appropriate time since we've had a lot of discussion?
I would like to move on from FRAT because I think it is a diversion because it is a specially formed task force for specific. And we have so many regular committees at least to do a run through so people can say, I have this skill set, I'd like to serve there.
Yeah. Good. And once we do that, is there some appropriate time where we just vote whether to keep it or not? Or
No. First thing we're going to do is sign up for the regular standing committees and task forces which are not under contention, and people can decide which ones they want to serve on. And people want to bring motions regarding whether to continue or dissolve or change the structure. There was a motion which was passed last year also which allowed more members of the PNB to serve on a committee, which meant that sometimes there was such a large membership on a committee that quorum became an impossibility. I know a couple of members want to address
that. Point of order.
So,
I made a motion. Don't forget. So whenever you want to consider
Okay, let me take the two people who wanted
to
speak.
Right, right. But I'm just saying the way that you reiterated it, it wasn't...
Well, I feel that everybody wants to at least have a run-through of what the committees are.
No, of course. Yeah, of course. I'm just...
So let me try to
before we adjourn on this issue, we're going to vote. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. And I think another member wanted to bring a motion also, so I'll try to do a run-through of the rest, and then we can do it. Yeah.
Well, I think we're about to get into what I was going to say.
Okay.
But yeah, because as a new member, we passed or we agreed, and Summer has been requesting an opportunity to implement the decision that we agreed to. But at least the new members here are not clear about the function of these committees, mm-hmm. and we're listening to this conversation and don't have a context. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would like to request that we move on to the explanation of each of these committees, and then we'll be able to understand better, you know, how FRAT and all these other things, fit in. And maybe if in the explanation we can specifically explain the related and unrelated functions of FRAT, audit, finance, I think that would be helpful.
Thank you, Benito. I'm going to take Teresa and Tracy, who are the last two people I haven't spoken that asked to speak, and then I'm just going to run through, which means it'll be, how do I put this? The committees on which I have not served, my run through will be a little less complete than someone who's been on those committees, and we can discuss them further.
Point of information?
Yes.
Does anyone have available for closed session the auditor's report, which recommended FRAT? I think a little history would be helpful, even though the theory is great, but in that committee, we need history.
I can certainly get us an electronic copy, which could be printed out for tomorrow, if we discuss finance tomorrow. For new members especially, if they want to see last year's audit report with the notes, they're entitled to that.
Please circulate it by email as well.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. I'll find it. It's in my email. I just have to dig it out. So, Teresa, please.
Madam Chair, I really value Janice's experience mm-hmm. and focus. The challenge with the audit committee is that it is a standing committee, and it is one director and two delegates from each of the stations, and it doesn't say anything about an affiliate director being able to vote on that committee.
On which committee? I'm sorry. We just changed.
Audit.
It's okay.
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 All right. Thank you.
It doesn't have to be changed on my account.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have functional members with the right skill sets and the right committees. It makes a real difference in the work they're able to accomplish during the year. So, Tracy, and then I'll run through this.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of echo Benito's point, which is I think that we're flinging motions on the floor without a whole lot of context and explanation, and there's a part of me that wants to say a couple things about how the FRAT came into being and how it's functioning, because I think there's some things being said that need context. But I also don't want to necessarily make that the high priority, because I think whether we have a FRAT committee or not is the least of the business that we have before us, because life will go on either way. So, and I also think when we're talking about committees, part of what we have to realize is we now have 13 committees and task forces for this board. We agreed last year that we would reserve two slots on the vast majority of those committees for people from each station, which led to 10 slots on 13 committees, more or less. So we're talking about 127 committee slots to be filled by all of you, which means you're currently looking at 4 to 5 committee responsibilities, some of which meet at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. And we're looking at basically assembling 10 mini boards this size. In other words, each of our committees are as big as the full board. And from a practicality point of view, not great. I mean, if you talk to non-profit board people, consultants, they will say, small guys, committees are smaller than the full board, and your full board is too big anyway. Do not assemble 7 more 22-person, 20-person bodies, because you're all going to drop dead. And speaking for myself, I mean, I love you guys, but I was on committee calls last year 3 to 4 nights of the week for 3 hours. This is not a life. I don't want to do that again. So I'm hoping that when we talk about committees, we won't just be kill this one, move that one. We'll also look at the overall ecosphere and what we need to have functional, effective committees, which is much broader than when we have a frat or we don't have a frat. So I don't know if...
Having
said that, I don't want to fling motions. I kind of want to fling a motion that we look at that.
Okay, so here's... I'm going to make a field decision as the chair because we need to, like, have some efficient process. When we discussed putting this at this point in the agenda, we discussed simply having a discussion of committees so that people could become familiarized with what they are and give some thought to the matter. So we will take motions tomorrow when we actually do the committees, okay? So people have time to get their motions in writing, think about what they really want to address in terms of structure from a functionality perspective. And we'll do it. So today we'll take a sign-up sheet on the committees. I'll run through the rest of what they do, okay? There can be discussion. And when we come tomorrow, because there'll be a point, some committees will have too many people, somebody will have to vote on something, that we could take the motions after there's some discussion and people have a better understanding. Because I don't think it's necessarily fair to the new members, and there are more new members than old, too. And it's not necessarily productive. And we didn't discuss doing motions this morning, but just coming through what's going on. So I think that would be more efficient. Lydia? Because we're going to come back tomorrow to do committee elections. And I'm saying we do the motions at the same time we do the elections.
Right. But my concern is that you're going to sign up for committees that may not exist, and that determines your other consideration. So however we do it, then have the sign up after we have that discussion is all I'm saying. And right now, if we could run through the standing committees and run through the other committees, that would be useful for everyone. That was the main thing, is for people to kind of get a grasp.
All right.
We could have a preliminary sign-up. It doesn't mean that things have to be binding.
Yeah, anyway, let me just run through everything. Seriously, we're on the second committee, and we haven't moved one iota past that, and there's another 10, 11 committees to go through. So I'm not going to take any questions. I'm just going to run through, and if someone who's on a committee thinks I didn't adequately describe it or I was inaccurate, just jump in afterwards when I get done with the entire rundown.
Can you also just designate whether it's standing or it's ad hoc or it's by motion? Thank you.
Well, and I don't have the bylaws section in front of me, but all the ones that are committees are committees, and I'm happy to take correction from someone if I misstep on one of these designations, and the task forces are labeled as such. Okay, the next one is the coordinating committee. The coordinating committee is a standing committee. Thank you, John. And yes, I'll take a reference person. All right, and it takes one person, one from each station. The executive director participates. When there's a CFO, usually that person also participates. And the chair, and it plans out the meetings, schedules the meetings, when are we having our next telephone conference, to a certain extent plans the agenda, although that gets chewed on more by the chair and secretary afterwards, but certainly lays out if there's a reason to have a special meeting that wasn't originally anticipated when the membership voted on it. I've had a pretty standing policy since I became chair a couple of years ago of setting the meetings for the year, because I think you got to be able to plan your life. Personally, I'm a no-weekend meeting person, but that was a commitment I made when I first ran for chair, and I said, you'll have your life. But we have to agree on what those days are, and frequently we are meeting twice a month as a PNB, never mind the committee. So it can be quite, you know, so that's a decision of the body. There's a new body now in terms of what's most convenient. So... but the coordinating committee handles those details when we are planning an in-person meeting. Where are we meeting next? What city are we going to? When is the date? Et cetera. Do you want to add something, Lydia, on coordinating? Because I think...
Just,
again, as the bylaw says, it's not an executive committee, so it's advisory. And whatever plans we have, the board votes.
Yeah, we don't have an executive committee, so just so that's understood, there isn't an executive committee. But yes, all the officers are on it. Thank you, Richard. Yes. Secretary, vice chair, because we do all the planning of the meetings. Thank you. Yes, the audit committee is a standing committee. And I'm going through committees first, and I'll come back to things that are labeled task force. Okay. The elections committee. The elections committee is responsible for hiring the elections supervisor, well, making recommendations and hiring the elections supervisor, for composing the ads for the elections supervisor, for dealing with all the different steps along the way with the elections.
I'm sorry, our bylaws say the executive director hires...
Well, hire, I meant recommend. That's why I corrected myself and said makes recommendations on hiring the election supervisor. Similar to the audit, you know, I had to sign what... yes, I understand. And the elections committee follows up through the entire elections process with whomever the national elections supervisor is. I'm not sure what they do so much on off years, but we're in an election cycle, so I know the elections committee was meeting regularly last year. Carolyn, maybe you would like to... at each committee, I'll try to call on somebody who's on that committee if it's not one I've served on. So.
Thank you. Yes, the committee did, and I think there's a little bit of confusion about the process because...
Please, thank you.
The national supervisor reports to the executive director... last year, the supervisor ended up on the committee reporting to the committee, which I thought was blurring the lines. I didn't think that was so appropriate. I would like to have seen a bright line there that was not in existence. But a lot of the details got and problems got brought to the elections committee also, which, again, might have been punted back to the supervisors in a better setup. Thank you.
All right, and without getting into details, I think we could all concur that this last round of elections could have used substantial improvement. So I'll leave it at that for the next elections committee and how this year's elections will hopefully go. And other limitations? Is this one of the committees which can have lots and lots of members, right? The only... yes, okay.
It was 20 people last year.
Okay. Finance Committee. Finance Committee is a limited committee. It's also a standing committee. The Finance Committee is comprised of the treasurer of each local station and a PNB director from each local station, and it has a very that specific membership and, of course, the CFO. The Finance Committee... Well, I'd like to let Tracy speak to that. Does a lot of budget work. I served on the Finance Committee for 2-3 years, but and Brian has. It meets frequently every 2 weeks, also doing follow-up on where stations are at with their budgets, preparing budgets, working on extracting budgets when management doesn't necessarily... The timelines, just as with the elections, can frequently be behind schedule on budgets where there is a lot of follow-up work to be done to see to it that, yeah, because our process is somewhat cumbersome in terms of budgets being produced by management, gone by the local finance committee, then to the local station board, then on up to national, and the finance committee chews on it there. But a lot of work happens in the finance committee. So I'd like to let you say anything.
I think you covered it.
Okay. Finance committee is an awesome committee, lots of work and very important, and one PNB director per station for that committee.
A point of information, you said elections, getting back to that, had lots and lots of members. Could you clarify that, please? Because I think the lots and lots of members is a real problem. I hope we're going back to one director, two members from each committee.
It's my understanding a couple of members wish to introduce a motion reducing us back to fewer PNB directors per committee.
Do we need a motion, or didn't that just die?
We're going to do motions tomorrow. If it's something that's sunsetted, that's a different issue. I haven't looked at it. It was brought to my attention that was an issue that it was desired that it be raised. Is that...
I just want to draw our attention to Article 8, Section 3, actually lists the standing committees. And I think it's Article 8, Section 2. It does say the committee shall include at least one. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what the motion tomorrow is going
to
be.
Well, I to reiterate what I said before, I'd like to discuss motions tomorrow, perhaps.
Okay.
The people who want to put forward the motion. Okay. I just want to get through the committees for
fine.
People. The
no
sake
problem.
Is new.
No
thank
problem.
You.
Thank
Thanks. You. Yes, and hopefully they will elucidate
not
that.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Lizette.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Serene, please.
I'm wondering if that's going to come up tomorrow before council leaves, because I remember when he weighed in on it last year. So it would be good if we could deal with that motion while he's at the table, since the bylaws haven't changed.
Okay. Thank you, Serene.
To be clear, he sent it out also by email. So if some member of the that was on the board last year can forward that, or maybe Andy can forward that. He gave an oral opinion at the meeting, and then he gave a written opinion to the board in writing.
Lydia, do you have any idea when the written opinion was? Yeah. I remember it, but I just it would help me to find it.
Yes, it probably would have been in February of
last
year. Shortly after the in-person meeting.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks. I can try to find it, or other people can try to find it from
Thank
last year's
you.
Board
I had
and
it
forward
before.
It to the new board.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, so hopefully we can find that email and forward the work that our council has already done on this matter. Okay, governance committee. I'm sorry, Manisha. Yes, please. Into the microphone, please.
I'm sorry. Did I understand it correctly that the audit committee is a subcommittee of the finance committee?
No,
it's not. Oh, that you suggested that that's usually it is, but
not in our body.
Not in our body.
That's
Thank
correct.
You.
Yes,
it
they're
really
separate.
Shouldn't be by gap anyway.
Yes, when she said it.
Okay, thank you. Governance committee. Besides chewing on things like maybe proposed bylaws amendments, policies, the working and structure of the board, the governance of the board, our own policies and procedures. Is there someone here who has served on governance that could speak to it? Who's already served on governance? Yes. Yeah, Brenda, would you like to speak to the governance committee just a little, please? Thank you.
So,
and it's a standing committee also. Thank you.
So some of the things that we do on governance is we discuss a lot of the issues that are brought up on the local level in regards to issues that need to be brought up to the PMB level, but we also go over the bylaws and kind of giving a timeline as to when they're going to be introduced. We're going to be discussing it and how we can coordinate across the network to make sure that they are voted on with sufficient time. I don't know what else.
That sounds probably about right. Thank you, Brenda. Lizette?
This might not be appropriate, but I have to get it off my chest, and I hope people will take notice of it. I'm very wary at us just taking a little bit at a time of the bylaws, when in fact, when those bylaws were agreed upon out of a court dispute, we were meant to have a bylaws convention to look at it. And I think there is, at some point, and this is just to make mention of it, we need to get this convention going and stop chipping away at different parts of it. I mean, we've been going for 10 years now, and surely we must have some idea of what these bylaws should look like.
Thank you, Lizette. The Personnel Committee does evaluations of the ED and CFO, puts together the proposed evaluations to bring to the board, and suggests policies, conducts the surveys regarding evaluations. Lydia, would you like to speak because you're on the Personnel Committee, please?
Yes, and each year it has taken on different things, right? I mean,
this year
they did look at some union contracts. That process was never completed, but it was started as well. Completed the two evaluations of the two executives at the time in this last year. When I was previously chair of the Personnel Committee, it also served as the search committee. So, you know, this time the board decided to have a separate search committee, but this is a blank slate right now, and as I said before, this year we don't have any evaluations to conduct as the Personnel Committee.
Thank you, Lydia. Now, Programming Committee and Technology Committee were just declassed to task forces. And that was, I served on Technology Committee for a while. That one should certainly be relative to the ability to meet quorum. I'm not sure what the issue is with programming, because you would think because we're a radio network, programming would have a... Isn't it programming that just got declassed, yes?
Well, it did, but Bill Crozier brought the motion that was passed... regarding that the populating of the programming committee would be identical to what it is in the bylaws as a standing committee, so it kind of rendered that bylaws amendment
moot.
Can you please clarify that?
Okay, so there was a bylaws amendment which narrowly passed out of all the other ones that didn't pass this year, which made the programming committee and the technology committee task forces instead of committees, so that if they don't meet quorum, they can continue to do their work. And that's basically what has been the decisive issue in these committees becoming a task force is, you know, after 6 months of the few diligent people showing up on calls and the other people not showing up, and they're like, you know, the feeling of not being able to conduct any work was overwhelming to some people. So,
And yet both of those committees seem to be extremely serious to our going forward as a foundation.
Indeed.
I don't really see how we can do without a technology committee.
Yeah.
Or a programming
committee. The irony of having a program committee turn into a task force for the radio network is not lost.
There must be something here about radio.
Yeah, totally. Has someone that served on the programming committee wish to speak to it? Who was on the programming committee?
Both.
Benito, were you on
Benito
the
program? Benito and I have both been on that.
Oh, you've both been on it. Dude, would you like to say something to what the programming committee was doing last year?
The programming committee was coming up with some task forces of itself to give itself some credibility in order to continue its work.
Oh, my goodness. That is hilarious. Okay, sorry. Benito, what's your perspective on the programming committee's work?
I would just add that the committee has been working on various policies with regard to a program council, national programming events or national events, and language. You know, Spanish language, what to do with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Benito. Technology committee. So I don't know who else here has served on technology committee. Okay. Teresa?
I would like to say something. I serve on development and affiliates task force.
I'm coming back to them. Yeah.
Okay. The nice thing about a task force is that you don't have to sign up to be on a task force to fill a slot. If, like, technology, the people that are really interested in that can make recommendations to us that affects our staff, and, you know, hopefully everybody that's on there is doing it because they want to do it, not somebody that might not show up and then therefore they can't make quorum, which is very frustrating. And if it's a task force and you have two people from your sister station that really are interested in it, you can both serve on it.
Yeah.
The other committees that they're defined, like governance, there can only be one director from each sister station.
No, I think that's the motion.
Yes.
My query is, do we have to take on several task forces as well as a standing committee?
You don't have to serve on a task force.
I understand you don't have to serve on a task force, but suppose you want to serve on a task force and it isn't a committee.
Yes. Realistically, everybody...
Instead of a committee? No.
In addition to.
You should serve on one committee, and if you can serve... I think realistically everyone has to commit to at least two like additional work groups, as it were, whether it's a task force or a committee.
Well, to relieve
the pressure
of that possible. Of the pressure, we made the technology committee a task force.
And okay. I don't understand how it relieves the pressure of the PNB member to do due diligence to any kind of committee and or task force. In other words, how can you do all of them?
You can't,
which is why we have to reduce.
Yeah, I agree. We should have fewer committees. It's exhausting. I mean, truly, if you're committed and diligent, you'll end up on 3, 4, 5 meetings constantly. Jessica hasn't asked anything.
As far as the task force, it sounds kind of backwards, but it actually helped us get business done by making it a task force, because now you don't have quorum, and if there's only 3 members on the phone and we're willing to do the work at that moment, the task force helps push that along. And it also kind of relieved the pressure on me as a PMB member, where committees are important, but the task force seemed to get more work done. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it just happened to be like that.
They were smaller.
So I'm going to finish with
that. It was smaller people, a smaller group.
I don't disagree with that. I just disagree with the numbers of committees. One still adds to a schedule.
Oh, yeah. No, it's insane. We should probably address that. There's three left. So I'm going to finish with the bottom and then go back to the top. Allegations of racism and sexism. It is my understanding that the committee was originally formed when there was a specific incident that needed to be addressed. In the 3 years I've been on the board, it has never had enough people sign up for it that it's actually really met in a reliable fashion. So that is a committee which should probably be addressed in terms of, you know, whether it should be subsumed into something to address issues when they arise and not continue as something that's on the list. But it's there. It's just that's what's happened. Did someone want to say something on that one? Okay. Nancy?
On that one, just because I'm an anthropologist, do we have a process that we can go to if there is an allegation? Just a process that would not involve suing anybody's ass off.
Yeah. That's a joke relative to something that was going on this morning. It's a punchline now. It depends on who the individual is who has an issue. Obviously, if it arises at the station level, it's going to wend its way up. But when you're talking at the PNB level, that is what that committee was originally formed for. It's that it hasn't been functional. There are several different ways at which those things might be addressed. Obviously, introducing human resources in a meaningful fashion into the organization gives you a place to which you can direct many types of complaints that might fall into those categories, not necessarily every type of complaint. And I think if there's something specific, the board may need to address it, but conceivably it could be brought straight to the board, too. So, Brian.
I mean, Robert is actually very specific about procedures for handling allegations mm-hmm. of misconduct against a board member.
A board member's different, yeah.
It always has to be an ad hoc committee because you can't have a standing committee because then one of the members of that committee could be the person who a complaint is filed about.
Yes.
So you have to, you have to take it on a case-by-case basis as allegations come up.
I concur if it's about board members. And again, this happened before I was on the national board, but it was my understanding it was
ad hoc. I believe it's in the bylaws.
Okay. So, all right. Well, Lydia. And again, if we get stuck on a particular thing that needs more clarification, we could get that so members have better clarity.
Okay, so I was on that committee when it was first formed, and the committee generated a process. And with all due respect to General Robert, he is not the paragon of information on issues of racism and sexism. So that is a very specific process that needs to take place. It's documented. I can produce the document. I'm fine with the fact that it can be an ad hoc committee, but as long as we do not lose both the history and the process that the members, when these were active committees, continue.
So it might be the type of thing that we keep almost as a dormant committee in case it is necessary, and then you would populate it at that time if there was something to be investigated, which is not an unreasonable thing. You have a structure, as it were, in case it's needed. Margie.
I see a function for such a committee sort of in the flip, which is to address directly, concretely, approaches to issues that may not rise to the level of complaints, but to provide information, training, a place to discuss issues of racism and sexism. We have certainly seen those problems at our stations, and there needs to be, I think, a positive movement towards dealing with them, rather than waiting until somebody is, you know, out of their minds and is like, you know, throwing things and screaming. Mm-hmm. We could have a proactive approach towards these issues. That anyway, it just seems to me that that's a useful thing, and maybe there should be a task force that works on that.
Thank you. I want to go to Lizette just because you've spoken. Lydia, I'll come back to you. Okay, but Lizette and then John. Okay. We have two committees left, task forces, that I want to tell people about, but go ahead.
Okay.
And there is the COI.
We have, I thought we were done.
No.
Well, when we get to the end, Chair.
Oh. Yes,
my
sorry,
point
ma'am.
Is appropriate when we get to the end of this list. I just want to ask a question about another.
Oh, sure. Okay, great. And Ms. Rosenberg has also brought to my attention what is in the bylaws, and I'll let her talk about that in a second. But
okay,
So I think what Margie is referring to is already covered, and which is constantly off of our agenda for these meetings, which is that the committees of inclusion.
That's what Tracy has pulled up too. You both on the same page.
Well, I've been raising it since 2011. This board doesn't care. They never add it to the agenda as one of the committees. We have five committees of inclusion. And the board chairs never, or whoever, other committee chairs, whoever, from this board, never requests the reports from the individual station committees of inclusion. If these committees of inclusion felt that their reports would be read, considered, and acted on when necessary, they would be more productive. I know because I serve on a local committee of inclusion. And the issues that Margie raised are dealt with both at the local level and how they relate to the national. And it's really important, but if this board doesn't take them seriously, if this board doesn't add their committee reports to the agenda, it's all for naught.
Can I, can I raise a point of order, tongue-in-cheek? My colleague just said that this board doesn't care. Based on the experience we had this morning, the team building, I would like her to hear it. I'm raising a point of order, tongue in cheek.
Yes.
The previous speaker, my colleague, said that this board doesn't care, and I'm trying to refer to our experience this morning that we should not be so judgmental. I mean, I'm the last person to be wanting to do this, but I think we ought to make an attempt to follow through what we did. And that was my main concern this morning about role-playing and not actually applying it.
Thank you, Lizette. Well, I was actually also based on... We did 2.5 hours of like teamwork building, board training, coaching this morning as a new board. And I was going to try and offer a positive suggestion, which is, Lydia, since you are a member of the Committee of Inclusion from KPFK, there must be other members here from their local committees of inclusion. Nobody ever sort of gathers everybody together so that we could turn it into a regular coalesce thing. So during the break, we could talk and see if there's a way to make this more functional, okay? Yes, Manige. John.
This is actually good to hear the name of this committee because I was on that committee, but the chair of that committee never sat the committee. A number of times I asked her, and there was no response. We'll deal with it. And I have been very unhappy that we don't have that because I think... we need that in New York and BAI and LSB and all that. I think we absolutely need it. But the member of the board decided for whatever, I think people are overwhelmed, decided not to have it.
Thank you. John Crumshaw and then Heather Gray.
Yes, I'll have to raise my hand louder next time. But what I was going to say is that the... Lydia, I'm sure you'll be happy to know that the good general has provided for a way of removing a board member who violates certain provisions of the bylaws, and I think those same could be applied in any situation known as a trial. And I would imagine that his Supreme Court namesake, Justice Roberts, would also agree that this would be a fair, just process. So I would recommend that if it should ever come to that and we need to consider any disciplinary action, we should look at Roberts and look under trial and look at that appropriate section so that we could get a very fair process that has been well worked out.
Thank you, John. Heather?
First of all, I'm wanting to thank... Is this on?
I think so.
I'm wanting to thank Lydia for bringing this up. It's true. I've not heard much about this. And Lydia, I also want to recommend, and to others on the board, that with this committee of inclusion, if it's not already being done, it seems it'd be good to be making having periodic calls with the various stations and committees of inclusion to have some discussion about what's happening in the various areas, because we know this is a local, national, international dilemma that we face on some of these issues. So it would be good to be making those connections and seeing what the various stations are doing to address some of these problems. So I'm just, and I thank you for bringing it up. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. We're trying to actually make sure everything's covered, and it should be printed in the book. And anyway, we should deal with these things. I want to cover the last two task forces. They're really, actually really great task forces. I saved the best for last. the affiliates task force, which I'd like to let one of the, I'd like to let Heather speak to the what the affiliates task force does. It's a very active task force.
Thank you. Well, I want to acknowledge that the board has two affiliate directors, and I'm so pleased that we have Janice Lane Ewart here, who is our new director. And Teresa has been just an incredible longtime member of the affiliate task force. And we do have a few reports we've been passing around. The task force, well, just so you all know, if you don't already, there are about 167 stations that are affiliated to Pacifica, which means essentially that they take some of the Pacifica programs. They do pay Pacifica for this service. So we are expecting in 2013 we will be making something like $240,000 from the various stations. It is a very important facet of the Pacifica network. It's huge. And it's not just here in America. We have Canadian, African, European affiliates as well. So, and I want to add something that I don't know how long do I have to talk about this, just briefly.
It's okay. Right? You know what? The affiliates is like a really positive aspect of what we do. So go ahead. You can say a little more about it.
So
good stuff. We can take more time on.
I just want to say that one of the roles that I think that board members are probably not aware of is the fact that the Pacifica producers, for example, when they're wanting to explore certain issues, they will contact Ursula Rutenberg, who, by the way, is the director of the affiliates program. Contact her, so that she could perhaps get in touch with other producers around the country if they're wanting to do some interviews. I mean, it's just a huge, beautiful network, actually, of producers. I do want to share also that some of the initiatives that we've done the past year, which I'm so thrilled about, one is that the task force has been in the process of surveying the affiliates. We want to get an update on some of their interests, concerns, the programs they're taking, what's happening in their communities. We intend to complete that this year. We have also been engaged in developing an e-newsletter. Some of you all might have seen some of the work that we've been issuing this past year, interviewing some of our producers. For example, we've got stations that are using only solar power to generate their, you know, some exciting things. We have a new affiliate. Pardon me?
One of them is hydropower.
We have a new affiliate station now in the Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. Some of you all might have seen that article. I'd like to send that out again to you if you haven't seen it, for those of you who haven't seen it. But I want to say that while, and we have a wonderful writer here in New York, Diane Reinhardt, who's been helping us on this. She's just an excellent writer. I'm just so thrilled she's assisting us. We are now, one of the things that we've been doing, which I'm also thrilled about, is that we've been making connections with labor producers, both with the affiliates and also the Pacifica labor producers, to perhaps develop a, well, we are in the process of developing a portal, actually, on the PacificaNetwork.org website, so that labor producers can more easily communicate with each other and be updated on some of their initiatives in their various communities. But I think we all realized as we were doing this, there is no other entity in the country that's providing the opportunity for labor folks from the grassroots level to be able to speak out, you know, on our programs. It's an incredible, incredible resource.
See, didn't I tell you that was the cool task force?
So, but while we're wanting to get information out about the what's happening with the affiliate stations and make more connections with the affiliates, and also provide information about what's happening with the affiliates to the Pacifica producers and board members as well. We are also wanting to get more information from the Pacifica stations and include that as part of our information and promotion about the Pacifica programs, if that makes sense. So we want to talk with all of you about that as well. We meet every other week. We are a task force.
We don't meet every other week.
Well, we've been trying to once a month. and we have folks on the task force from throughout the network, including some board members. I'm going to ask Teresa actually to speak to that a little bit, the membership. Would you speak to that? Membership on the task force.
Okay. Well, I just encourage you can have 1, 2, 3, or 4 of your directors on the task force at the same time. If you're interested, you can go. And I do encourage the directors that attend these meetings to go back to your LSBs and report. We had a wonderful guest who helped found a radio station in the Virgin Islands. They would love to have visitors, and magnificent training people in the Virgin Islands these students are empowered to choose what they want to put on the air. They do encourage, for example, local music and local news. They don't want to just be, you know, couch potatoes and, you know, passive and just take other people's news. They're generating it themselves, and so it's very empowering, very grassroots. So
that was also our affiliates task force report.
Yes.
No, just,
so,
yeah.
I mean, well, please, just join it if you can, and,
yeah,
and you don't have to attend every meeting. We're going to have our meeting whether or not you can get on the call, but it's always very interesting. And it's really gives, to me, it gives us people of our sister stations an opportunity to just imagine what you can do in a station that's about the size of a 2-seater outhouse, you
yeah.
know? It's amazing what they can do, and with someone with no money,
yeah.
you know? So,
well, it reminds us what we're really all about.
The potential.
I don't want to take all the time because we do have other things we'd like to say.
Manager.
So should we just wait for that? Or with
yeah.
Janice, would you like to say anything?
I think we probably need to do the last committee, which is development, so that we can, because it's time to break for lunch. And
well, yeah, otherwise we'll be eating while folks are trying to talk to us,
totally.
Which is a little rude.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We spend an hour on this 30-minute item.
Thank you. The last one is the Development Task Force. Same participants, Heather, Teresa. I was on it last year. Teresa, do you want to, or Heather, one of you, just briefly on Development Task Force?
I'd just like to say same thing. If you would like to just get into the potential of what we could do, please join the Development Task Force. One of the things we've been working on this year is in trying to find people who would write up press releases for some of the positive things that is happening at our sister stations.
Just, we need writers.
We need
yes.
writers, yeah. And, cool. I mean, I'm kind of sick and tired of, like, if we're in the news, it's something negative. I mean, there's just too much going on. And because we're not paying people to do these things, it's positive information is not getting out about the foundation.
Yeah, and I need to say that this year with the Development Task Force, we're going to be doing more training on development,
mm-hmm.
you know, more fundraising, grant writing, learning skills, and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So we will be doing more of that.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, Brian, and we can break.
I promise it's just a question. Carolyn grabbed my attention when she mentioned that the election supervisor is reporting to the elections committee. I don't see it anywhere in our bylaws.
It's not a standing committee. But
it's not a standing
committee. No, it is
committee.
A standing committee, isn't it?
The only reference to an elections committee in our bylaws is that local election supervisors can convene committees who are supposed to consist of neutrals. And I don't know why it's never occurred to me before, but it's actually really weird to have an elections committee consisting of elected people who are the product of those elected.
When the board is supposed to have absolutely nothing to do with all that, to our consternation sometimes, yes.
So we started out as a task force, and I forget the year that the board actually took a vote to make it whatever the level below a standing committee
okay.
was, because we weren't rewriting the bylaws, but to make it equivalent and to populate it in the same way that standing committees were. And it's always worked that way. That's not the problem. The problem is that it has standing with the standing committees, because the board actually voted onto it. I'll get you the policy. I'll get you the motion if you want somewhere. But the point is that my point simply was that I thought it should be dealing with things like the database and local arrangements and so on, but not have the supervisor directly report to it, even on a consulting basis. I just thought that was inappropriate.
Thank you. We should break for lunch. I'll take Janet. But
yeah, just
one
question about the development task force. Is that not also an extremely serious area for us to be pursuing?
Completely. We need more people involved with it. The only press releases that went out that were positive this year were the product of a couple of board members who did the work, and that was helpful. And when we were sitting on the development task force, and I was participating last year, we were looking on identifying, you know, resource materials where we could look for grants to even start the process, because we don't have a national development director of where do we identify opportunities, things like that, as a committee. So yes, it would be very helpful if there were a couple of committed individuals with writing skills, research skills, that would be willing to serve on that task force and commit. You know,
is there
Summer? I just want to add something also. If you all will look at this development task force report, what we have included at the very end are some samples of some grants that John Perdue, who spoke at our task force, did some research. This is just 4 pages. There are a number of pages, but this is for equipment for various radio stations, and this is just grants for equipment that went to radio stations. Please look. This report. I gave it out to everyone. Please take a look at that.
And obviously, there's grants for equipment. There are grants for reporters. There are grants for advertising. If we look at other people in public radio, there are a ton of grants out there that we should be applying for. Luzette.
Just a question. I hope I'm not being nosy, but a member of, a former member of your LSB, KPFK, mentioned to me that there is a need for some investigation there, and he was asking about an inquiry body of some kind.
We should probably discuss that in closed session.
I know, but
it did come up. Yes, right. Sure. When we get to closed session, okay, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, if that needs to be a specially formed group, yes.
We will be passing this list around. I just want to make a general statement about signing up for committees. Some of the committees, as like a task force, you can have all 4 of you on there. But many of them, you can only have 1 director from your area. So it really saves a lot of problems if you work together with your team to figure out where your skill set is and you don't compete. Because if 2 people, for example, want to run for a committee, then we're going to have an election. So if you can decide among yourselves, which is the best division of work, it makes it easier for everybody.
Okay, we need to break for lunch. Oh, Lydia.
Yeah, but point of order, the point is that there was the motion that's currently in place, whether it's rescinded tomorrow
it's not
or not.
It's not a motion, Lydia. There was no motion.
The chair just knew
what was going to come up. There is no motion. It was just something that the board agreed to do, and the motion to keep it to 1 person per committee failed. So there's nothing to rescind. We just need to decide as a group.
Okay, my recommendation, folks, to stay on track is that we're at 1:30.
No, there was a motion by George Ryder that says up to...
No.
Okay, folks, rather than disagree, I would prefer that we break for lunch, that we can come back at 2 and honor the public and our public comment time, and that will give time to look this up and not have a disagreement about it as to whether something has to be rescinded or decided. Yes. So please, we're adjourned. We're taking a half-hour lunch only, so or you can bring it right back here and sit here and eat, but we need to stick to our public comment time at 2 p.m. regardless, okay? So thank you.